your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, hockey fans. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and we are going to be chatting about some news and, you know, trade rumors and all that great stuff coming out of the West and Central divisions. And this is, I don't know what week of the season, and I'm still confused as to like what teams are in the Central division and what aren't, but you know, we'll get there eventually, maybe by the last week of the season. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings. I am joined as usual by my partner in crime on this show, Tom Gazzola from later editions of Locked On NHL, sometimes Locked On Oilers, and of course all his great Oilers coverage on TSN. So we're going to chat about some hockey stuff right now, and we're going to start things out with the Central Division, as I have reminded myself which teams are in it. And there's two that are surprises this year in terms of where they're at in the standings. And that is the Florida Panthers and the Chicago Blackhawks. The Panthers right now, at the time that we are recording this, so anything can happen overnight, I guess. But right now they have 30 points. They're the top of the Central Division standings. The Blackhawks have 28 points. They're in fourth place. And there's getting to be a large and larger gap between Chicago, 28 points, and the Blue Jackets with 21 points. So two of those teams, the Panthers and the Blackhawks, are not teams that anyone thought would be in a playoff position. So the first question I have for you today, Tom, is, are these teams for real, or are they going to implode, let's say, at some point in the next couple weeks?
Sarah, I just want to say that I'm right there with you in terms of trying to remember which teams in what division and what division is actually the proper label for it, because I sometimes can't remember. And what is becoming common among the media here in Canada, aka the North Division, Scotia North Division, if you will, it's almost like the rest of the league doesn't exist. It is bizarre beyond belief. And it will exist when the time comes in the spring and we're talking about postseason hockey and finally divisions playing against one another instead of within. But in this Central, The Blackhawks, to me, are still somewhat pretenders. I'll be completely honest with you. It's wonderful to see Patrick Kane continuing to play at such a high level. They're doing it without Jonathan Toews, which, you know, hopefully he gets better just for the sake of his life in general. And then who knew Kevin Lankinen would be leading them to prominence in the Central Division almost midway through the season. It's beyond even comprehension. You know, we thought this team was dead in the water right out of the gate, but they've been feisty. Their young guys have been solid. They've been tenacious. And here they are, 23 games in at the time of recording, and they're holding down fourth. And you're right, there's a cushion between them and the Blue Jackets, a team that was expected to be much better. Columbus, you know, after the big trade for Dubois and Laine and Roslovic and getting Roslovic and Laine there, it's not working. And Jarmo Kekalainen doubles down on John Tortorella. And it seems like from the outside, his act is wearing thin. It has opened up the door for the Chicago Blackhawks. The other team in this division that currently sits last in the division that I thought would actually be pushing the Blackhawks out, making a run for it now that it's finally playing again regularly, is the Dallas Stars. But COVID and that storm through Texas that ravaged the state for the better part of a week and then some, it has basically caved in Dallas's season. They have to play, I think it's 40 some odd games in an 80-day stretch, and they've had to deal with COVID. That might just ruin them this season. So all of a sudden, the Blackhawks have a glimmer of light, unless Columbus decides to collectively wake up and listen to John Tortorella or whatever the problem is get solved, and they get out of this absolute funk that they're in. And then that leaves us with the Florida Panthers, who look like a legitimate team in the Central and potentially in the National Hockey League. And they did it oh so quietly when nobody paid attention to them because they're in the Miami area and the better team in Florida is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won the Stanley Cup. Carolina's right where it should be. It's incredible to see the Panthers just going about their business and handling things the way that they are. Good on them. They put in some really strong pillars in that organization. They've got a great coach, obviously. They committed to some great players. They groomed some high-end draft picks, and they're bearing the fruits of that patience now. You know, Huberto, Barkov. I thought Hornquist was a good pickup. Keith Yandel was not even supposed to be playing, and he's having a great season. So good on them, and they're doing it on the backs of a guy named Chris Driedger. Like, who knew? Him and Kevin Lankinen rocking the Central Division between the pipes. It's just been one of those bizarre stories, and here we are midway through the season with those two teams looking really good of all teams.
Yeah, I feel like the goalie situation for both of those teams is fascinating. And, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, the Panthers are kind of doing it in spite of him. You know, he doesn't have the best numbers out of their goalie pair. And a guy who was playing in the ECHL a couple seasons ago is the guy who's getting the bulk of the work, it seems like, for the Panthers. And, you know, Chicago, I feel like, you know, if it were any other team that we were talking about, that we'd be looking at this collection of, like you said, they're missing their captain. Their goalie is a guy that no one's ever heard of before, unless you follow the team or are really into like Finnish junior hockey, I guess.
Yes.
You know, they're doing it without a bunch of superstars. It's a very much like an underdog story that I feel like people would be super into, except for the fact that it's the Blackhawks and everyone's like, oh, great, here we go again.
Yeah.
I definitely saw someone on Twitter be like, man, that division is really just trying to do everything they can to get the Blackhawks into the playoffs, which, you know, they're not wrong. The teams below them in the standings are just, other than the Blue Jackets, maybe, like you said, getting it together. I don't really, you know, Nashville, Detroit are not credible threats.
No.
Dallas, like you said, I think that their schedule and the way their season has gone is just, they might as well just sort of wash their hands and try again next year. And here we are. Here we are with Chicago and Kevin Lankinen just destroying other teams' dreams, I guess.
Yep. And the one quick note I would add about Dallas, I know they have 5 to 7 games in hand, or in some instances even more, on the teams that they're trying to catch, but that schedule, that fatigue, mm-hmm. the lingering effects of COVID, it might still not be enough of a runway to get them back into the mix. Really, it might, you know what too, Sarah, collectively, like the mental psyche of the team might mm-hmm. see where it's at and then look at the schedule and you know, they get into a rut. You look at them as of Tuesday, they're 2-5-3 in their last 10. That wears on a team no matter mm-hmm. what it did the year before, no matter how good individual players are. It just messes with you. It's like a bad idea and a bad habit that just plants itself within and doesn't go away. And that's what might overtake the Stars. And it's unfortunate given all they were able to accomplish last season.
Hope they bounce back, because it is a fan base and a part of the world that I feel like I always love seeing teams from outside of traditional markets have success. And Dallas has had a lot to be proud about with last season. But yeah, this year, just, you know, just let's just take it easy, because it's not going to get prettier from here on out. Coming up next, we take a deeper dive into the Columbus Blue Jackets. First up, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Do you want to know what I had for dinner on Tuesday night? I had a Built Bar, and it was one of the brand new flavors. I don't even know if I can talk about it yet. It might be that secret. But what I can tell you is that it was delicious and filling and also good for me. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars that are out there. They are covered in 100% chocolate, and it basically tastes like you're eating a candy bar that also happens to be healthy for you. They come in 18 amazing flavors, including caramel brownie, raspberry, double chocolate, and more. Plus, there's always limited edition flavors that pop up from time to time, so you want to keep your eye out for those as well. Built Bars are great if you're health conscious, if you are on a diet, if you are really into exercising, or if you're just really into snacks like yours truly here. You can go to builtbar.com right now, check out all the varieties they have available, all the cool products, and use promo code LOCKEDON20 and you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at builtbar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, two top teams in the NBA's Western Conference battle it out before the All-Star break. Will the Suns and Lakers meet again in the Western Conference Finals? Well, you can find out that, get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. I did want to touch on another thing that you mentioned, which is the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are... to put it politely, kind of a mess at the moment.
Yes.
You know, everyone from people who cover the team to fans to whoever is kind of sitting back being like, all right, is this the ticking clock for John Tortorella? Like what has to happen to get this team back on track? They made this huge trade. And yet just on Tuesday, Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, came out and said that he is 100% confident in John Tortorella and, you know, said that like, this is my coach. And, you know, usually that is actually kind of the kiss of death for people in these positions. Some guy going out there saying, you're my guy.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Nailed it. And it's interesting because there's speculation. Elliot Friedman talked about it too, that this might be a legitimate vote of confidence and not just a play publicly, which is a bit surprising because we saw Tortorella wear out his welcome in record time in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I know he had a good run with the Rangers and we saw what he did in Tampa almost 20 years ago, but he has a certain way about him. And I know some players who played for him loved him, but it feels like we're seeing less and less of that. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more and more of the abrasiveness that we see with media. And maybe his style doesn't necessarily jive that well with the new generation of hockey mm-hmm. player and the mindset that they have. And maybe they don't take to tough love, which it's a different type of tough love, it seems like, than the old school hockey guys that we have seen kind of get weeded out. This is maybe the cusp of something new. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're in a rut. Whatever drama unfolded with Dubois and already with Laine, it's leading to negativity. And when you have that shroud of negativity, the black cloud that follows you around from arena to arena or wherever you happen to be as a team, usually it doesn't lead to success. I know they have time and an opportunity to turn it around here, but you know, you're seeing more bad than good in Columbus, and it is a bit surprising as an outsider in a different market completely to see the GM say, nope, that's our guy behind the bench, regardless of how we're seeing the reaction from players and the results that they're seeing at the end of 60 minutes, night to night.
It's that constant losing or struggling that, you know, I think, like you said, it does wear on them. And I talked about this a little bit on Locked On Kings in the context of the Kings and the Ontario Reign, who are doing very poorly at the moment, the AHL team is. But, you know, I was thinking back a couple of years ago with the Kings to, you know, the season where they got their coach fired and they hired Willie Desjardins for some reason. And it was just, you could see that as the losing went on, like the guys just, they had no confidence. They weren't playing to the system that they were, you know, being instructed in because they just had no faith that it was going to work for them. And so then it turns into every man for himself. And then your team is even worse because no one's playing as a team. And yeah, it feels a little like Columbus is kind of hurtling in that direction if these players really have tuned him out.
And Sarah, there's something to be said about that too, is when you try tactics to push buttons to get a reaction and that reaction doesn't occur, That's kind of the telltale sign you've lost the room.
Yeah.
And you've lost the players. It feels like, again, outsider's perspective, and you alluded to the Willie Desjardins scenario, and you nailed it, obviously, completely correct. It kind of feels like it's careening that way with Columbus.
Which is a shame, because I feel like, just like Dallas, you know, they're another fan base that, you know, they're so passionate. They love this team. And the team was just on, like Dallas, like on the brink of doing something good. You know, they had playoff success. They had that amazing playoff run against Tampa. Tampa didn't win any games. It was crazy. And, you know, that brings a lot of excitement. And then to see it just a couple years later kind of start to fall apart is just disappointing. You want everyone to have at least a little bit of fun in their fandom, I guess.
Those are two good hockey cities, I will say. Mm-hmm. Covering multiple games there, traveling there, probably 5 to 10 times each. Those are really good hockey markets, and it might surprise some people, but their fan bases are loyal, and those buildings are generally full, especially Columbus. Dallas, you have to be winning, and you've got to compete against, you know, you've got the Rangers, you've got the Cowboys, and you've got the Mavs in the same building. So you got to be winning to be relevant, but those are two good hockey markets in non-traditional markets that people might not believe, but they really are. And they know their game, and they know their players, and they know the NHL.
To finish up today's show, we're going to talk trade rumors, and maybe you can use that information when you go and visit betonline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football, of course, is over, but the NBA, college basketball, and of course the NHL are all in full swing. Betonline.ag even covers award shows, TV, reality TV, all that great stuff. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website, BetOnline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON with your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're listening to this show, then you already know the good news, and that is that on Wednesdays, you get to hear from me, you get to hear from Tom, you get to hear about teams in the Western-ish sort of the world, and, you know, sometimes we go a little out of our lanes and talk about teams on, you know, on the other coast, and that's cool. But whether it is a look at top-end contenders like Vegas, Colorado, breaking down the rebuilds of the Kings, the Blackhawks, Locked On NHL has you covered today and all week long. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we will close things out today with inciting some trade rumors, because that's, you know, that's we get to do that here on the show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is a path that some of our other editions of this show throughout the past couple weeks have touched on this issue. But Buffalo is, again, to put it politely, a mess. There is more and more talk about the fact that Jack Eichel is probably done there because of just how unsatisfied he is and how unsuccessful the team is. This is going to be rebuild probably like $8 billion, I think, for the Sabres. And so players like him and Taylor Hall, who signed that 1-year deal there just to, you know, cash in and get himself out there, and then proceeded to be on a Buffalo team that has not really accomplished anything. Both those guys are probably going to be getting a lot of attention on the trade market. And so pretending, I know that like everyone says the trade deadline and stuff is going to be different this year because of teams taking into play the, you know, COVID restrictions and any sort of quarantine rules. Do you want to give up a bunch of stuff for a guy who isn't going to be able to play for you for a week or whatever? You know, so pretending that none of that is a factor, where do you think is a logical landing spot for Jack Eichel in a team that would have the assets to give back up to Buffalo to make it worth it to give up their, you know, captain and prized player?
Right. And it's going to cost a lot to get an Eichel, especially with how much is left in his career and how young he is and how good he's been. You're talking about first rounders. You're talking about legitimate blue chip prospects that you're probably willing to part ways with. I don't know what Buffalo would want back in return. I don't know if they're able to turn this around the ship, I'm talking about the ship in a hurry. If an Eichel trade could pull that off and get them enough assets to turn things around. And on top of that, like, I know, you know, we're kind of throwing out the hypothetical there. And if you're getting rid of the border restrictions and all that in perfect world, you still have to factor in the cap. Mm-hmm. And you have to factor in a team that's probably close to a playoff spot that thinks that a Jack Eichel can really put them over the top. And when you factor in those criteria, maybe it's a St. Louis, maybe a Chicago. Could Columbus go and take a run at one of those guys, a Hall or an Eichel, and move someone out that's maybe disgruntled that Buffalo would have a keen eye on? But the options are so limited. And I know the New York Rangers name comes up time and time again for Eichel because they can move money around. They can pay cap fees and penalties and all of that because it's the New York Rangers. It's almost like a baseball team where it's a license to print money. But it's a small, small portion of teams, three or four maybe. And I'm wondering, too, when you look at Taylor Hall, and I thought he was a consummate pro here in Edmonton, really enjoyed my relationship with him when he was here. The guy knows who he is, what he's out there to do, what he's worth. He's very aware. But I'm wondering, too, if there's maybe a stigma being attached to him as a guy who is never going to win. Mm-hmm. Can't be on a team that ever wins. He's been to the postseason twice and has never really gone anywhere in the postseason. And I think maybe that might make some other teams very hesitant, regardless of how impactful he can be on the ice. And the fact that he's a couple of years removed from a Hart Trophy, sometimes that kind of thing lingers with a guy. And I'm wondering if that's part of it. And I think there was some Oilers that also had this during their days of depression or the decade of darkness that it's well known and alluded to as here in Edmonton. I wonder if Buffalo's starting to see some of that as well, because it doesn't seem like anything they try or do when they get a chance to works at all. It really feels to me, Sarah, like Edmonton was between 2009 and 2015.
Buffalo even did the thing that I feel like a lot of people want to see more of, which is they went outside of the box and hiring Ralph Kruger as their coach and, you know, brought someone over who isn't the same, you know, rotating cycle of Gerard Gallant / whatever coaches are available at the moment. You know, they took a chance on him, and now he basically has lost the trust of at least the fan base and the media. Here we are, yet another year, almost a quarter of the way through, with Buffalo still just being chaos.
Yeah, and Sarah, knowing Ralph when he was the coach of the Oilers and associate coach prior to that, and seeing him now answering the questions from the Buffalo media, which is a tough media market because they know their hockey and they don't take any BS. It's almost like he is trying to protect something, or he's defending something that's going on. And he doesn't want it to get out. It feels like he's in a precarious situation where he's uncomfortable. And this is a man who is confident. He is modest, but he has a very good grasp and understanding of everything and anything. He's highly intelligent. He has no malice to him whatsoever. And it feels like he's trying to protect something, and it's putting him in a very, very bizarre situation. Where's Kevin Adams in all of this, by the way? When was the last time we heard from him? I haven't seen anything where we've heard from him recently. I may have missed it. We heard Don Meehan, the agent for Jeff Skinner, going to the Sabres and being like, what the heck is going on? And something is awry there.
Yeah.
Where you have Ralph that's taking the heat, and I think he's trying to be the shield for something that maybe he had something to do with, maybe he didn't, but something is very awry in Buffalo, it seems like.
Well, this feels like a topic that all of our daily editions of Locked On NHL are going to be diving into. I know that I'm hoping to look at it a little bit more for later on in the Monday edition of this show, so Buffalo is this year's team to get everyone talking about what exactly is happening behind the scenes. And we'll surely be revisiting this, especially if Jack Eichel ends up heading west at any point in time. Well, thanks for chatting today about some teams that are surprising us in both good ways and bad ways. For people who want to find you online and, you know, maybe yell at you about your takes on any of these teams.
Oh, yeah. I'm used to that. Trust me. Just follow me at Tom Gazzola, 2 Z's and an Ola at the end. And then you can catch me on TSN 1260 and TSN and from time to time on NHL Network, indeed.
All right. And I'm on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show's on Twitter at Locked on NHL Pods. Make sure you're following us there so you never miss any of our awesome episodes throughout the week here on Locked on NHL. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends about it and come back tomorrow for more hockey news on Locked on NHL, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.